Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as Thanksgiving week begins and the city council convenes its annual Fighting Hunger in New York City hearing, the Brian Lehrer Show convenes a panel now to talk about hunger and food stamps here in New York. Applications for food stamps are up 45% over the last 3 years, and attitudes toward the program have shifted since the welfare reform of the 90s. New York City has removed hurdles for applicants, but is alone with Arizona in requiring fingerprinting as part of the process. So what is the scope of food insecurity in the area this Thanksgiving, and how should the city weigh access versus fraud prevention in the application process? Joining me for this are three important guests: Robert Doerr, Administrator and Commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration and Department of Social Services, New York City Public Advocate Bill de Blasio, who chaired the City Council's General Welfare Committee for 8 years, will be joining us in a minute, and Triadis Stampas, Director of Government Relations and Public Education at the Food Bank for New York City. Triada, Commissioner, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And we want to hear from some of you listening right now who have personal experience with the food stamp program. If you're new to food stamps, let's say since the financial crisis began about 3 years ago, how difficult was it to apply? What other benefits do you receive? Is fingerprinting an issue for you? How have food stamps helped to alleviate your financial struggle? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. The focus is on food stamps at 212-433-9692. And Commissioner, let's start with the extent of hunger and food insecurity in the city. How do we measure that?
Well, the federal government has a measure that they do based on a survey, which we think is not entirely precise because it can lead to people describing a situation that may not be hunger, but it might be some concern about having enough resources in the household at a given time. But the fact is we're coming out of a recession and people are struggling, and food stamp benefits are used as a support for working people, and they're used for people who are disabled, and they're used for the elderly. And children take advantage of food stamp benefits as well in struggling families. And it's an important resource. And what's remarkable in New York City is the extent to which we've changed the program so that it is easier to access. People have taken advantage of it. More people who are working are taking advantage of it. And we're up to really very high levels of 1.8 million recipients. In last year, the total benefit used was more than $3 billion. That's a tremendous amount of assistance to needy families. And the Bloomberg administration has really been upfront in trying to make the program as accessible without violating our concerns that people not take advantage of the program inappropriately.
And that's a tremendous number of people in the city of New York. I actually wasn't aware of that number. 1.8 million out of about 8 million New Yorkers, give or take. Mm-hmm. That's you're approaching a quarter of the population on food stamps.
Yeah, and there's two ways of looking at it. One is that there's something wrong with that, which is that there's a real problem, and the economy could be stronger. We'd like the economy to be stronger. The other is that we've made a program more accessible to people in need, and we're a generous city. It's a federally funded program, but it is part of the wide array of programs that the city has for people in need. And I think what we have to be sure about when the numbers are that big and the costs are that big is that we don't run a program that can be inappropriately taken advantage of by people who are trying to get over or to commit fraud.
Triada, talk about the Food Bank for New York City's relationship to the food stamp program, because people may first think of food pantries and soup kitchens when they think of the food bank. And of course, in terms of food stamps' role in the city and in the country, there was that very interesting New York Times article over the weekend about the surprising number of near poor in America, just above the poverty line, that surprised even the Census Bureau officials, who were asked to crunch the numbers by the Times. And one of the things that the article stated was that for those people, food stamps are one of the things that often play a key role in keeping them out of official poverty.
That's correct. And, I mean, going back to the numbers that the commissioner brought up, there are now about 1 in 5 New York City residents receiving food stamps. That is a tremendous number if you think about it. And it speaks to the awful economy that still persists. I think the recession has left a lot of people in its wake. And so local unemployment has been hovering at or near 9% for more than 2 years now. And the average length of unemployment is 10 months. So you've got to, you know, it stands to reason that people are exhausting their resources and turning to anywhere they can for help. Now, my organization, the Food Bank for New York City, I think you're right. The first thing that comes to people's minds when they think of a food bank is the distribution of food through food pantries and soup kitchens. And we do that. Last year, we distributed more than 76 million pounds of food to about 1,000 such programs across the city. But we also run one of the biggest food stamp operations, outreach operations in the country. And that's because emergency food can meet people's immediate needs, and it needs to be there as part of the safety net, because a person who needs to eat tonight will not get that from the food stamp application process. It takes a little bit for the paperwork to come through and for eligibility to be determined. And so in the interim, that immediate source of support is necessary. But food stamps are really the sustainable income support that allows people to put food on the table for themselves and their family long-term, independently, and with dignity.
Also joining us now is New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio. Welcome back to our studio.
Thank you, Brian.
And food stamps, an expansion of food stamps was part of the stimulus bill. Now that that's fading away, do we see less availability of food stamps in New York City, or doesn't it work that way?
Well, look, my concern is we have seen a downtick lately in the number of people enrolled. I sent a letter to the commissioner, who I respect, even if we've had some differences on this issue. I sent him a letter on November 18th noting that over the last few months we've seen a slow but steady downtick in terms of usage. I think it's a grand total of about 15,000 less over the last few months. That concerns me. I'm not sure if it's related to the stimulus, but it doesn't make any sense in terms of our economic environment. And just to say simply, I do think the administration has done an admirable job over 10 years of increasing food stamp usage intensely. I think the finger imaging piece is the one area where we still profoundly disagree, because there are estimates of at least tens of thousands, if not many more, New Yorkers who still could be getting food stamps.
And
I
what
believe.
Do you think that's a barrier? Is it a psychological barrier? What is it?
I think it's a psychological barrier, to say the least. I think there's a reason why we are now the last state in the country, ironically, to still employ this practice. Texas recently stopped doing it, which is a striking note. I think it's not just psychological, however. I think in the end, when you think about it, navigating any government office is difficult. This is a case where we're not trying to add difficulty. We want families, we want children to have access to the food that food stamps bring, especially in an economic downturn. The commissioner will no doubt talk about his efforts to avoid duplication, which are admirable. I think when they come wrapped in a methodology, which bluntly we don't ask middle-class people to go through when they get a driver's license or so many other benefits, by definition, it's stigmatizing, and I think it makes it harder and less likely that people will get the maximum amount of food stamps. That's
well,
the bottom
Commissioner
line.
Commissioner Doyle, want to react to that?
Well, we don't agree. We think it's remarkable that the participation rate in the food stamp program in New York City has risen so dramatically, notwithstanding the fact that we have a very simple and easy process that is a process that I had to go through to become an employee of the City of New York. It's a quick image, and it's immediate return on whether the person is inadvertently or mistakenly or maybe inappropriately trying to get double benefits. The receipt of double benefits was a significant problem in welfare programs in New York State and in New York City. It is a legal requirement for the receipt of cash assistance to be finger imaged. We have the apparatus. We have the setup. We've been able to do it. Our participation rate, as measured by one method of measuring it, is up over 84%. It's as good as any of the large states in the country. Texas and California ran terrible food stamp programs, and they've given up finger imaging as a whole host of things they've needed to do to make their program begin to get as close to as good as ours. So we don't agree, and we think the study on the deterrence is old and based on another state's activities. And so, again, we're at all-time level highs, all-time number of people who are working. It doesn't seem to be a deterrent, and we have to have a program that captures the credibility and the trust of the tax-paying public.
Brian, if I may, first of all, I made one error. There is one other state that still does this besides New York. It's Arizona. I think that speaks volumes. My apologies. Second, I questioned when I was the chair of the General Welfare Committee of the Council. I questioned Undersecretary of the USDA Kevin Concannon, who said explicitly he is the number one official in the country on food stamps. He said he would never approve a new state if they asking for the right to finger image. That he, speaking on behalf of the federal government, said very clearly that it is stigmatizing, it creates an impediment. There's no way that this administration in Washington would ever approve it again. I think that speaks volumes. I respect the commissioner, but I think it's powerful that the person in charge of making sure food stamps are maximized and utilized all over the country believes this is problematic.
The USDA has also given the City of New York awards for program access, and we don't agree with everything the Obama administration says, and we don't agree with this. This is something we believe in and will and want to continue to do.
My guest on WNYC, Robert Dorr, who was just speaking, the New York City Human Resources Administration administrator and Department of Social Services Commissioner, New York City Public Advocate, Bill de Blasio, and Triada Stampas, Director of Government Relations and Public Education at the Food Bank for New York City. As we talk about food stamps on this Thanksgiving week, our lines are packed, so let's get some callers in here. Cassius in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hello, Cassius.
Hello, Brian. How you doing? It's been a great help. I started getting stamps at the beginning of this year. It's just like you were saying earlier, it's allowed me to stay just above poverty line, and I just want to say that with so many bodegas here in the five boroughs, we need just like better quality food in them, like more produce and better quality bread, because we can get cold sandwiches with the food stamps very easily, and it's so hard to find good food in so many neighborhoods in the five boroughs.
Did you have any problems with the application process, or do you feel stigmatized at all by having food stamps and going into stores with them?
No, I don't really feel stigmatized. I didn't have a problem being fingerprinted to get them. The only problem is the process of going to apply. It takes up so much time. They really need to try to streamline that. And if there's some kind of problem, you're trying to call people and reach people within the offices, and it takes forever to hear back from them. It seems to be so chaotic and disorganized at times. That's what needs to be improved.
Thank you for your call. Triada, I know the food bank helps people apply for food stamps or helps make them aware that they might be eligible for food stamps. Are there particular hurdles other than fingerprinting that you tend to run into?
There are some misconceptions about the program, and that's really a barrier that we try to overcome. There are folks who don't believe that they are eligible when they are. They don't believe that they will receive substantial benefits when they do. We try to address those hurdles. And there are, you know, hurdles in the application process that we also try to ease by doing community-based outreach and application assistance. So we train organizations across the city to help people prepare their applications and submit their applications without having to go into an office to do that. Now, they still have to go into the office to submit a finger image, and that is an extra step that they have to take here that they would otherwise not have to elsewhere in the country and that we'd prefer to see not happen. But, you know, we try to meet people where they are, and that shows results. You know, when we do outreach, we help get people access the program who otherwise weren't applying.
And Brian, that's just a quick point that by adding that need to come into the office, here we say to people who don't happen to have work, we want them to go find work. It's a very tough economy out there. People have families to take care of. Having to come into the office additionally for the finger image is an impediment. It makes sense. Then your caller spoke volumes. It's chaotic and it's an impediment.
I wanted to credit the public advocate de Blasio for helping us move toward more community-based applications and for online applications, which we do as well. The finger imaging adds very little to the process, and it did prevent us from issuing more than $5 million worth of inappropriate food stamp benefits last year, which in a time of where governments are struggling, it's a good savings. It's something we shouldn't just ignore. And I think that I also believe that to the public, there's a perception that the program needs to be run in a way that can't be taken advantage of.
Joe in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, good morning. Before I come to this point, Brian, I had a point for Chris Matthew, and that he should fire Hillary Clinton. That's the only way that he...
Are you going to talk about food stamps or no?
Yeah, I'm coming to food stamps.
get to it now.
Okay, the big problem is that these folks in the Bronx and these other ethnic neighborhoods, the merchants, they're taking those paper coupons if they're still being issued in lieu of merchandise like clothing and shoes. Also take food stamps for discounted cash. For example, $100 of food stamp for $80 cash.
Joe, thank you. But I don't think you can do that anymore, can you? I mean, grandmother's food stamps with things that look like tiny little dollar bills. It's an EBT card.
It's an EBT card, and it's been very much made easier for recipients to use them. That's not to say that people don't trade food stamps for cash in an appropriate way, and that is something we need to look out for. But the card is simple and easy, and most stores take them in an appropriate fashion.
Brian, just quick point. I just want to say I appreciated the commissioner's point earlier in his kind comment. I will send one back at him and say we agree also on things like trying to limit usage for sugary drinks as counterproductive. But I have to say his constant invocation of the $5 million saved, quote-unquote, by avoiding fraud. First, I think there's other ways to save that money besides finger imaging. Second, the Urban Institute did a study. They believe around 30,000 New Yorkers would take advantage of food stamps who are not doing it currently because of finger image. That would bring in $55 million into the New York City economy, particularly helping small businesses. I think that also has to be in the equation.
It's a five-year-old study done in California. It's not really appropriate to the food stamp program now.
I would say the need is greater than 5 years ago.
No.
Cheryl in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hello, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a subject that I feel very strongly about. I did apply for food stamps about 3 months ago, and I did apply through a community outreach center here in Queens. And that part went very well. And then I was supposed to get emergency food stamps. That took 4 weeks. And it took the full 45 days to approve me. And I had to then go get a card down in Brooklyn from Queens. And it took me 3.5 hours to wait to get to the counter. And then they send you to another building where the card is actually produced. And I waited 1.5 hours there. So thinking that I'm set, I keep checking my account on the computer, waiting for the food stamps to go in. And finally, I get a letter saying that I didn't have my fingerprints, so I'm disqualified. I was not aware that you needed fingerprints. And so now I'm sitting with nothing. And in fact, I'm home today baking bread rather than buying it. I am at the poverty level. I am looking for work. Here I am. I'm stuck.
Commissioner, what's
your
show?
It's hard to comment on every case. There is a process. The state does issue the cards, and we do believe that there are further improvements that we can make in getting the card issuance and done more rapidly. And, you know, we have had to absorb a great increase in demand as we've pushed the program to working families and others, and the economy has struggled. And we have state does not fund any of our administrative costs. So most of the funds are paid for by the city.
Unfortunately, I was on food stamps in California. I've moved back to New York now. In California, you complete the application process right then. You see a worker right then. You're applying for food stamps and Medicaid at the same time. They take you in and do the electronic fingerprinting right there, and you leave with your card.
California's
so you can't tell me that there's less people in California getting food stamps than there are in New York.
California's program access index is 43%. That is the percent of eligible who are receiving. 43%. Ours is 84.
Do you have percentages on that at the food bank? Because, again, I know you do this outreach to people who are eligible and may not even know.
We don't have independent numbers on that. It is very hard to kind of estimate the population of people who are eligible but not attempting to enroll because of the many program requirements. It's not just income. It's also number of household members who are eligible. It's also immigration status. So it gets very tricky to try to create those estimates. I do want to acknowledge a point that the commissioner was making. The number of people enrolled in the program has skyrocketed since the start of the recession, and HRA really has been working very hard to continue to administer the program well without being able to increase headcount to accommodate that extra enrollment. And that is something that should be acknowledged as something that the city is doing well and doing right.
Is there a category of under-enrolled who should be aware out there? A lot of elderly people eligible, but they don't realize it because they never had to be on food stamps earlier in their lives to make ends meet?
I would definitely say the elderly is a population that we do target. We just got done with a project that we were working hand-in-hand with the Medicare Rights Center on to enroll senior citizens on both food stamps and Medicaid. And of the, you know, we reached out to more than 16,000 seniors that we targeted using, you know, lists from various city agencies as likely to be low income and eligible. And 30% of the people who got our letter in the mail ended up applying and ended up getting benefits. So there are still people out there who don't know they're eligible, but when they're made aware of it and when that application process is explained to them, do go and get the benefits.
Commissioner, I understand that your office did a study that showed people in many cases weren't using their food stamp allotments, weren't using all the money that they were eligible to spend on food in the course of a month. How did you track that?
We did a recent look at to the extent to which there were dollars available on the food stamp card at the end of the month. And there was more dollars available in more cases than we expected to see. It was still a minority of cases. And there may be – and sometimes it was very small dollar amounts. So we don't really know – what that means. To us, it says, though, that it's possible that the benefit is being used the way we think it is supposed to be used, which is to supplement other income in a household and protect a family from falling into a crisis situation, as opposed to being in a crisis situation and using every dollar of food stamp benefit immediately upon receipt. But I think it's something that deserves a little further look and study, but it did give us a sense that the food stamp benefit is a supplement to other income in a household.
And Public Advocate de Blasio, I understand that there's legislation before City Council to require the city to disclose how much fingerprinting food stamp recipients costs, how many people are only fingerprinted for food stamps, not for other cash assistance, and how much fraud is actually detected. Do you support that, or might that just add more overhead to the city expenses than it saves?
No, I support the legislation because I think it gets at the basic point that there's an economic imbalance in this equation. We're talking about pure federal money that I am convinced after 10 years of working on this, we're still leaving quite a bit of on the table. We're talking about people in need in the greatest economic recession since the Great Depression itself. And we're talking about families and children getting quality food. So from my point of view, I'd like to try it the other way. And I think that's why the legislation is so important. It begs the question, are we certain this is not a counterproductive policy? I would like to try it the other way. I'd like to challenge the commissioner to do what all but Arizona has done and try it without finger imaging in some coherent manner, because I think what he's going to find is it will increase usage. That's a wonderful thing for the city of New York, the taxpayers of New York, to bring that federal money in. It's great for families. I think you can catch duplication in other formulas, in other methodologies besides fingerprinting. By the way, most of government tries to avoid duplication without fingerprinting. Let's say that as an obvious fact. Fingerprinting is for very rare instances, employment, criminal justice system. But we find duplication regularly through methodologies other than fingerprinting.
I've been in social services for 15 years.
I said most of government, not just social services.
The technologies that are needed to get a match on social security number or other methodologies just don't work as well. The finger image is unique, and it gives you a duplicate entry quickly. The problem with the legislation is it talks about fraud. It wants us to make every instance of a duplicate catch a fraud case. It criminalizes the process more than it really is. It's an upfront prevention methodology, not something we're trying to catch people and refer to the district attorney's office. So we think it's inappropriate for the city council to push us into this fraud thing.
Respectfully,
when we're really doing is protecting the taxpayer dollar.
I've asked you this question many hearings. You used to talk a lot about fraud. You obviously respectfully didn't have a lot of evidence of fraud, so now the message is duplication.
No, that's not true.
It is because duplication.
I've never intended to use this as a method to send over cases to district attorney's office.
Right.
It was never intended to be that way. And I never talked about it.
My point is there's not evidence of fraud.
You two will agree to disagree on that point, I guess. And Triad, I'll give you the last word from the Food Bank for New York City. For people who may have had their ears perk up if they're struggling financially and think, well, gosh, I never thought that I may be eligible for food stamps. What makes somebody eligible?
Income is the first criterion. It's 130% of the poverty level is the income cutoff.
Which is roughly what? Let's say for a single elderly people, a person, what is that?
Well, I can give you the number for a household of three, which is kind of a typical, you know, single parent, two children, or two parents, one child. That's $18,500 is the poverty level. It's 130% of poverty.
So a third above that.
Yeah.
Which would be about $24,000 for a family of three.
Yeah, and that's correct. So, you know, it's indexed to household size, so it really does matter how many people in your home are eligible. About half the people on the food stamp program are children. Immigration status is also a key criterion. So any legal resident of the United States who's been in the country for at least 5 years is eligible for the program, but children don't have to meet that five-year requirement. So there may be families, immigrant families out there who have not yet had 5 years of legal residency, but the children in the household will be eligible for benefits. And that is another key population. Immigrant families are another key population that we reach out to and try to get enrolled, because that's where a lot of misconceptions about the program exist.
And there are many community-based organizations that we partner with to promote the program.
Thank you all for talking about food insecurity and food stamps, EBT cards, on this Thanksgiving week in 2011. Commissioner Doerr, Public Advocate de Blasio, Triada Stampas from the Food Bank for New York City. Thank you all very much for coming in. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Gershom Gorenberg from SouthJerusalem.com on the ties between state, settlement, and synagogue in Israel. And then we will play a clip of playwright Peter Sellers, who says the performance continues when the audience goes home and does their own performance about whatever they've seen, play, movie, concert, to the people they're telling about it. So we're going to invite you in about 15 minutes to call in and do your one-minute performance pieces about anything you've seen recently, a movie, a play, a concert, whatever. Just make it creative. Do 1 minute of your own telephone performance art about anything you have seen recently. All right? Think about it, and we'll take those calls in about 15 minutes. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.